on today's episode.
All of life is just fraught with infection from sin, including the surgery that fixed your hand or reset your broken arm. The unethical things that were done in understanding the way human anatomy is developed is staggering. But the point is that it became a concern when people were beginning to try to burden consciences. We wanted to be careful not to burden consciences by saying you must be vaccinated. Equally concerning was that we didn't want consciences burdened if anyone were to say you should not be vaccinated, because that goes further than what Scripture does.
Welcome to the Life Challenges podcast from Christian Life Resources. People today face many opportunities and struggles when it comes to issues of life and death, marriage and family, health and science. We're here to bring a fresh biblical perspective to these issues and more. Join us now for Life Challenges.
Hi, and welcome back. I'm Krista Potratz, and I'm here today with Pastors Bob Fleischman and Jeff Samuelson. And today we're going to talk about vaccinations. Hang on. It doesn't matter what side you are on with vaccinations. We really want to have a good discussion about this topic today. And so we just really want to be able to talk about this and just offer maybe some different things for either side to think about when it comes to this topic. And so I think a place to start when we talk about vaccinations, just how did this topic of vaccinations come onto the CLR radar?
That would actually go back probably maybe close to a dozen years ago. We had been asked by the seminary to start looking at the whole issue of vaccinations. And because there are a variety of issues that come into play, like, for example, how some of them are developed, that becomes an issue. There are issues about whether being vaccinated represents a trust or lack of trust in God. And then some people, as we began to see with the COVID controversy pandemic, it became also very political. It became whether it was an overreach of federalism or was it depriving me of my rights. So it really did get muddy. In hindsight, I wish I had been more zealous in tackling it, a dozen years ago than waiting to the present. But one thing I guess I want to say, and this is going to be a surprise, I think, to a number of people, but COVID did not cause us to study vaccination. There was a board member and I that were charged with working on the vaccination project, and that began before the pandemic, before we ever heard of the word COVID. We had ordered a ton of material. We had already begun doing a lot of reading. We were already exchanging a lot of information back and forth, but that was before the pandemic hit. And when the pandemic hit, it was kind of like, we've done all this research, time to kick it into high gear. So when the pandemic hit, it became clear that it was going to be difficult to navigate some pretty muddy water. All of a sudden, there were just some very extreme views taken by people who are very credible, theologically steeped in that kind of stuff. And so one of the first things we did is, as a board, before we even came out with our CLR statement on vaccinations, is wrote a 54-page paper, which we distributed to the board, in which I basically did a deep dive on everything that we had worked on in our research and what it all means. We took from the 54 pages, and then we reduced it down into the 12-page statement that we issued. So this was not somebody sitting down shooting off an idea on vaccinations. We did a lot of work, and it went under a lot of scrutiny.
Yeah, and I'll just add that part of the whole process and how the pandemic kind of affected things. Prior to the pandemic, most of the controversy about vaccination had to do with your children. Am I going to get my kids vaccinated? And it was somewhat removed from most people. But with COVID and then the very quick introduction of the COVID vaccines, suddenly it wasn't just a question of, well, what decision am I going to make about my kids? It's, am I going to get this? Maybe I used to have no problem with the government insisting that my children be vaccinated, but now the government's insisting that I be vaccinated. and that suddenly made what was a kind of a distant issue for most people into something that was very personal and even intimate.
And when we talk a little bit, too, then about the controversial issues surrounding the vaccinations, what makes it so controversial?
First of all, one of the issues that is of great concern, even to me and where my position has changed over time, was the fact we'd always known in the pro-life movement that fetal cells were used from aborted children. And immediately, you know, we like to distance ourselves as far as we can from such activity where possible. You know, you want to do it. And so I will say initially, you know, we used to, when the girls are getting to be the age of vaccinations, we made a conscious effort of asking, is there an alternative that didn't involve using fetal tissue in the development? And on occasion there was, on occasion there wasn't. Now, where the water started to get muddy is when people would, in casual conversation or when I was presenting, people would come up to me afterwards and say, so when you couldn't find an alternative, you went ahead and had the vaccine anyways. I said, well, yeah. And then immediately I was wrong. That's wrong. You did a wrong thing. And quite honestly, it was that harshness that caused me to start taking a second look. And what did it mean to say using fetal tissue? And it caused me to actually change my position on it. I no longer became as adamant in being against it simply because people were beginning to judge a heart based on not taking into all the matters into consideration.
Yeah. Bob and I both share an interest in concern for history and context. And a lot of the controversy, I think, comes from a problem that is endemic to much of our society today, which is a lack of understanding of history or context. Most people alive today have benefited from the vaccination regimes that were introduced in the 20th century. And to the point where most people have little or no memory of polio epidemics, of rubella, and the birth defects that it caused. These were huge issues, even as recently as the early 70s. And vaccination programs eliminated this. There are thousands upon thousands of people who are alive today that wouldn't have been if not for the vaccines. There are thousands and thousands of people who were born normally because their mother didn't have rubella, German measles, while she was pregnant. And all sorts of issues like that people just kind of take it for granted that, oh, well, I don't see anybody with these diseases, so the vaccination must not be that big a deal. Well, the reason it's not a big a deal, you know, you're not seeing people with it, is precisely because the vaccination programs were so successful.
When we talk about the COVID vaccine in particular, what about that made it so controversial?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, early on in the pandemic, I wrote a statement on mRNA vaccines. And again, this is, you know, people want to read into it what they want to read into it. I had been following mRNA research for at least 2 years, if not 3 years. And I was always very fascinated by the fact that you can have this kind of treatment type option using mRNA that just intrigued me. And in fact, recently they've announced some very promising, Moderna came out that part of their mRNA research is some very promising help in the area of cancer treatment. And that was the area that had me interested in a couple of years before COVID became an issue. So I wrote the statement on mRNA, and that's when I would get just a couple of letters or a couple of emails. And the emails at the time had nothing to do with science. The emails were concerned about this idea that it's the government intruding, the government changing, the government, you know, of course, they would talk about it changing your DNA and all that kind of stuff, which wasn't, first of all, it was speculative. At best, they were speculative. There was no research in existence, you know, at that time that says that it was going to alter your DNA and your children in the future were going to be carrying some sort of defective DNA development. But people became concerned about it. And I think Jeff really hit on it. And that is because it started involving adults, that became a real cause for alarm. And I was caught off guard by the reaction in the pandemic to how people did not want to be told how to protect others. You know, like, for example, I do remember being around long enough and being rebellious enough that seatbelt laws, you know, you had to wear a seatbelt. And I remember I didn't like that rule. I liked hopping into the car, you know, and as a kid, we never had seatbelts as a kid. I mean, the cars didn't even have seatbelts. Well, the car that we had when the girls were young, we didn't even have seatbelts in the third seat. You know, we put in the third seat in the station wagon. It didn't even have seatbelts and it wasn't required. Now all of a sudden you're required. And then on top of it, and this is how people think, you find an anecdotal story where seatbelts would have been harmful. And in my family, my uncle got hit by a train and survived. And they said if he had been wearing a seatbelt and got hit by a train, he would have been killed. But what happened is that he was thrown from the car and it slid him away and out of the way and he survived. So all of a sudden, now you're saying, I don't like my rights restricted. And my uncle would have been killed if he had worn a seatbelt. I'm not going to wear a seatbelt. Okay, now, again, you know, when you step back and you look at the big picture, many lives have been saved because of seatbelts. There's a lot of, you know, good, valuable things because of seatbelts. I was surprised that when it came to the pandemic, how many people didn't want to take that step back. Instead, they saw evil everywhere.
Yeah, just kind of going along that, for a lot of people that were maybe against the vaccine, it was this idea of being mandated to do it. And, you know, you would hear people that, maybe worked in the hospital or whatever their job was, that they had to have it or they'd be fired or just all that kind of stuff. And so then it became maybe less about the vaccine, but more about the rights associated with it. I guess, you know, as we maybe kind of transition a little bit into this biblical perspective and this Christian view, what is that, or what can we look at when we think about the subject of vaccines and then even going to towards rights and that type of thing too?
Well, I don't, there's so many different places to start. I guess one is our current modern American fixation on personal rights is never a good place to start if you're trying to have a Christian perspective on things, on God's perspective. It's really kind of a modern invention, you know, particularly when the rights are conceived as this is all about me and what I want. Because you have to realize, no, as Christians, we put others' interests first. And so if your main concern, your main objection on whatever the thing might be is, well, this is an infringement of my rights, you need to step back from that and say, okay, what are the real issues here? You know, set the rights issue aside for the moment. Not saying it's unimportant, but it never matters. But you want to make sure that's not the thing that's motivating you, because in that case, it's probably a very self-centered kind of approach to things. Instead, well, what's one biblical principle to work here? It's the principle of stewardship over your own health and body. And by extension, principle of stewardship over your children's health and body. Okay, what is the best thing to do here? What is the healthiest thing to do? And then we also bring in the principle of love. Christ said that the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, mind. Second is like it, which is love your neighbor as yourself. And that's another thing to consider here. It's my decision to get vaccinated or not get vaccinated. Which of those is more loving toward my fellow man?
You know, I got the brunt of a lot of the criticism after what I wrote on the mRNA, and which was adopted by the whole board. And when we had our statement adopted by the board, we had it reviewed, too, by the leadership of our church body, by our people at our seminary. And, I mean, it was not something we did lightly. What's interesting is that we never said that you had to be vaccinated. We never said that. Never once did we say that. Do I think it's a good idea? Absolutely I do. Do I think you're wrong for not being vaccinated? No, I don't. And this always comes as a surprise, but exactly half of the CLR staff is not vaccinated with regard to COVID. They've made a decision, and I think that they've used good reason. I mean, I think their motive was correct, but we might differ on the conclusion. But their motive was correct, so it's valid. It's no different than, why did you buy a Chevy instead of a Ford? Why did you build a big house instead of a small house? People make all sorts of decisions. And the problem that we were having, that we encountered, was that a lot of people wanted to elevate these applications to the level of principles. Now, Jeff was, I was listening carefully, he was very good about carefully defining the principle of love. How we do that is where we differ. I remember I got a flaming criticism from somebody that pretty much called me the devil's handiwork for being involved in this. And the thing that was interesting is that all it was an opinion. They just gave me an opinion. They didn't give me any biblical support for their position. And quite honestly, I really don't care. I don't need someone's opinion. But if I was biblically wrong, that I want to see, because I have no interest in being biblically wrong. And a core issue, which I think has to be discussed, is the whole fetal tissue part of it. Because that was, for me, that was a real big conscience problem. And I recognize that. And I recognize, based on that reasoning, somebody might not want to do it. Well, understand the background behind what was going on there. First of all, we believe, And I can say this confidently, we believe that in order to create a vaccine that some doctor or scientist believes they're going to have to abort children in order to extract tissue to be able to do this, we are 100% against it. We do not want one life taken intentionally for the purpose of creating it. And that is not how it happened. They were elective abortions that took place, and the mother had no idea how the tissue was going to be used. And the tissue was used oftentimes to establish the purity of a sample. In other words, we could take tissue from you, but the problem is that you have 30, 40, 50 years of exposures to disease and everything. It's a corrupted tissue. We're not going to be able to create a baseline for creating a proper sample. So what they did is they had these aborted children that were destined for the incinerator. That's where they were going. And the doctor said, can I take a sample? You know, the researcher. And it sounds ghoulish and so forth, unless you know how a lot of research is done. I did a lot of study on, you know, I had a major heart issue back in 2005. I wanted to know what was behind all that. That's an episode in and of itself. The point is that they were looking to create this baseline. Nobody was looking to kill unborn children or to create a market for it. And people will say, well, now they make profit out of doing this. Hey, the profiteering that comes out of abortion, that's done by evil-hearted people. They're wrong. And we say that all the time. But what happened in the development of the vaccines was the desire to create the purity of the sample. And so they created the purity of the sample. They were able to do it. By the way, those cell lines that are being used if you use red food coloring, it was used in creating that. If you take, I believe it's Tylenol, it was used in creating Tylenol. There's a lot of it. And that got to a point that we made in our paper, and that is that all of life is just fraught with infection from sin, including the surgery that fixed your hand or reset your broken arm. I mean, the unethical things that were done in understanding the way human anatomy is developed is staggering. But the point is that it became a concern when people were beginning to try to burden consciences. We wanted to be careful not to burden consciences by saying you must be vaccinated. Equally concerning was that we didn't want consciences burdened if anyone were to say you should not be vaccinated, because that goes further than what scripture does.
Yeah, I think with the pandemic, it was very, very interesting, too, just to hear some of the discussion. And I think, Jeff, you kind of talked a little bit about the Christian side that was for the vaccines. And I guess, just kind of backing up a little bit, one thing that was interesting was just that so many Christians, that there seem to be very strong Christians on both sides of it too. And so, you know, you kind of did a good job of saying that side too, that was very for the vaccine and showing love for neighbor and that type of thing. The side that was opposed to the vaccines, there was also a lot of love there, but there was also this idea of we're not afraid, we're trusting God, and this idea that was their biblical side for that. Like Bob said too, you see both sides to it and think, okay, yeah, is this just a gray area? And what happened is that people on each side really just thought that their side was where you should stand, and that in when they looked at it, there wasn't a gray area. It was more black and white.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned there are strong Christians on both sides. I can put a fine point on that a little bit more too. There are very strong-minded Christians on both sides. And I was talking about some of the emails and such that came in. I remember one that was basically saying, well, if you're not going to give the opinion on vaccines that I'm in favor of, then you shouldn't have said anything at all. That basically summed up what the point was. And okay, I can understand that. It's regrettable that, you know, we've got somebody who is firmly thinks that we're on the wrong page by trying to inform on this and actually ending up in the middle of it. But I always found the "we're not going to be afraid" a little less convincing than was offered, because I'm not saying everyone, but a lot of those people who said, "Well, we're not going to be afraid," we're very afraid of government overreach.
Yeah,
you know, we're very afraid of having their rights being taken away, and it's like, you know, it's just a different kind of fear that you're responding to than the other people are responding to. And if I am concerned that I or my children or whatever are going to get this really bad disease which is killing lots of people, and as a result, I decide I'm going to go along with the government's recommendations and get vaccinated. Why is that necessarily me being motivated by fear? Maybe it's me making a very conscious decision that this is the best course of action here. And there's a lot of judging of people's motives, mm-hmm. Unfairly doing so. And again, that's precisely the kind of thing that we as Christians don't want to be doing. Again, on either side, we want to be giving people the benefit of a doubt when it's not something that is quite so clear. And even if we think it is a really clear thing, you know, to recognize that, well, okay, maybe this person who made that what I consider to be a wrong decision, maybe that was made in ignorance and not in defiance of God, and to have a little bit more compassion and consideration in that way.
I thought one of the compelling arguments against taking the vaccine was the concern. There had been a statement made in Great Britain that they advised against fertile women who would be interested in having children. They had advised don't take the vaccine because there's a concern that it might negatively affect fertility. Now, when that was brought to my attention and I read what was written, I thought, now that's, it's a valid thing. I, you know, how far do you push it? I don't know. But I thought, I get it, you know, and I think that probably played into the decisions of a lot of my friends that have chosen not to be vaccinated. What's interesting is that statement was made basically to err on the side of precaution, because there was no study done yet. So nobody knew for sure if it would work that way. And since then, they've shown there's been no significant impact on fertility because of the vaccine. But at the time, you didn't know. And so there are a lot of decisions you make that it's just the best shot that you can do based on what you know or what you don't know. And people who wanted to argue that position, they would have found a big fan in me. But it's when they wanted to slap you silly with it that I started to have trouble again, you know. And it became, Jeff made a comment. See, Jeff, when we started working on this, if you recall, you were on the board yet. You weren't even on staff.
Yep.
And Jeff made the comment in a board meeting once that I thought was very valuable. And it had to do with, because we began talking about people being asked to quit a job if you weren't vaccinated, especially if you're in the medical community or something. And he made the comment, he goes, we tend to want to stand for what's right and so forth, as long as there's no consequence to it. And the reality is that in a world that is progressively walking away from God, standing for what you believe in, standing for what is right, and hopefully standing for what's biblically rooted is going to always have consequence. And so sometimes it may even be unfair that they want to terminate your position. But sometimes you suffer just as Christ suffered for standing for what's right. Yeah.
For Christians or within the Christian church, I think one of the really sad casualties of the pandemic in relation to vaccines and many other issues was the Eighth Commandment. Not just the not bearing false witness against others, but as Luther puts it, you know, taking other people's words and actions in the kindest possible way or putting the best construction on everything. Very quickly, there became a sense of, oh, well, the real reason he's doing this is this, or she said she was doing this, but the real reason is, and there's a lot of, you know, judging of people and their motives and not being willing to just step back and say, you know, she's in a different situation. You know, he's got a different understanding of that. And part of what complicated it is the reality that there were people in public positions who were, if not outright lying to the public, were massaging the truth and presenting things in certain ways. And as soon as that became public, that's what was going on, it caused distrust. And that, that multiplied. And, well, if you're agreeing with Dr. Fauci on this thing, well, that means you must be agreeing with him on all the lies that he told. And, well, no, I'm agreeing with him on this thing because it's the right thing. It's all these kinds of things. And I mentioned strong-minded Christians. Part of that was digging in on, I'm on this side, and therefore I'm not going to listen to anything that has to do with the other side. And Christians need to be a lot more open-minded to that, you know, and open to correction or open to changing positions on things. Again, there was a lot where you had a position at the beginning of the pandemic and, oh, you are not going to change that. Well, you should if new information comes to light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we saw that too a lot with the pandemic, was just how new information did come out and new research came out, and then just and even just the difference in the COVID itself has changed. And so there's so many, we're at a very different place now than we were of March of 2020. And so that's just something to also keep in mind when looking at this. Is there anything else that we should bring to light or just mention on? I know you can go on the Christian Life Resource page, and the article that you wrote is up there, right, Bob? The position statement?
Well, the position statement was offered by the whole board. That's up there. And then also the mRNA article.
Okay.
But I think just to get this out there, the position statement on vaccines is like 12 or 14 pages. But we have an abstract, which we try to do on our position statements, just one paragraph. I'd like to read that just so it's crystal clear. It says, human life is a blessing from God. In our role as stewards of his blessings, Christians act first to protect and care for the lives of others, and then to protect and care for their own lives. Viewing a lifespan as a time of grace to come to faith, grow in faith, share the faith, and live the faith, a Christian will act in the best interest of serving those goals. Under the freedom purchased by the blood of Christ, Christians enjoy a wide assortment of options to best steward the blessing of life. The correctness of choosing to be vaccinated or choosing not to be vaccinated is measured by motive rooted in faith and the correct understanding of God's will. So in other words, we didn't come down saying you must be vaccinated or you must not be vaccinated. We said there's freedom, but our goal is, and it continues to be, to inform people. I just want to say, kind of as a closing argument, for those who really dug their heels in on both sides of the issue, adamancy towards it or against it, keep in mind this thing. First of all, read things that are contrary to your opinion. That would be very valuable. You've got to sit down and carefully read them. And then when you apply your critical standard to those things that disagree with you, then turn around and apply that same critical standard to the things you disagree with. And keep asking yourself, can I defend this with scripture? I may have a strong opinion. I may have found somebody who feels this way, but can I defend this ultimate conclusion that you must be vaccinated or you must not be vaccinated? Can I defend that conclusion with scripture? And oftentimes what you get down to is an opinion. And I'm willing to let you rest with your opinion. Be willing to let me rest with my opinion. If I am wrong according to God's word, then show me with scripture that I'm wrong. Do not send me to the same website that 15 other people in your conclave have all been sending me. I want to see a wide diversity of authoritative opinion on both sides to cause this change. Right now, it has been, a couple of years since we came out with the statement? Neither I nor the board has seen any reason to modify the statement. Nobody on either side has come out with anything that compels us to say, oh, we should have come down stronger on you must take the vaccine, or we should have come down stronger on you must not take the vaccine. So that just means if you think you've got yourself a good point, so far, not yet. And again, we have a staff that is split on whether to take the vaccine, and we even have board members that I've talked to that feel differently on how far you go, do you get all the boosters, all that kind of stuff. Why? That's the joy of Christian freedom. That's why, when we built our house, do you know that one of the things that we were asked when we built our house is, do you want to put in a sprinkler system? Sprinkler systems are a big deal in house. How much safer would the house be with a sprinkler system? At some point, you just kind of make a judgment call. And just for the record, we did not put a sprinkler system in our house. But we make those decisions all the time. And sometimes they are on the level of life and death. But you make that decision when you decide to come out to my house and you're going to take either the interstate or the back roads. One might be a little bit safer than the others, but you're going to go crazy when you start cutting life that way because you're making those decisions all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you both for this information on the vaccines. And we also just encourage all of our listeners to check out the information on the Christian Life Resources website that we've mentioned. It's ChristianLifeResources.com. And we look forward to having you back next time. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Life Challenges podcast from Christian Life Resources. Please consider subscribing to this podcast, giving us a review wherever you access it, and sharing it with friends. We're sure you have questions on today's topic or other life issues. Our goal is to help you through these tough topics, and we want you to know we're here to help. You can submit your questions as well as comments or suggestions for future episodes at lifechallenges.us or email us at podcast@christianliferesources.com. In addition to the podcasts, we include other valuable information at lifechallenges.us, so be sure to check it out. For more about our parent organization, please visit christianliferesources.com. May God give you wisdom, love, strength, and peace in Christ for every life challenge.